Good Saturday morning to you, everybody. Welcome to the Flashpoint Healthcare Solutions Radio Show, along with Steve Glick, Chief Administrative Officer for Chamber Insurance Trust. I'm Gary Byron. Steve, good morning there, buddy. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning.
You're live in Boca Raton right now, right?
Yes. Have you taken the snow off your lawn?
Listen, smartass. There's no snow up here. As a matter of fact, we're having record warmth weather this weekend. It's a little rainy, but temperatures are pushing 60 degrees. So how you like them apples? By the way, since we're going to go down that road, I heard that you had some snow in northern Florida. I know that's not where you are, but I know that you had some unseasonably cool weather for Florida. Now, obviously, like the highs being 65, certainly better than what we had here, but that's still not exactly Florida weather.
But we had a hard time from our home to walk to our pool, which is, you know, across the street, and they plowed the sidewalks for us.
Yeah.
It was great to get there, and the pool water was 85 degrees.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I love Connecticut.
All right, you win. I have nothing for you then. I mean, that's all I. Oh, by the way, how was your Hanukkah and holiday season? I mean, today is New Year's Eve. Well, this is two questions. How were your holidays? And number two, what do you have planned for tonight while you're down in the villages?
Well, the first step is, you know, people are special during this time frame, and we've been fortunate to be with many people we know for many years in our family, and to be able to be with people that feel a tribute to yourself and for the activities of life, it feels great. You know, once a year, I think it's really important to put the family on as the priority for some time to be with and with friends. So good wishes and positive direction and as we go into the new year. So, and I say that to all the audience as well.
Well, we appreciate hearing that. Guess who I have live in the studio with me this morning? Well, you know. Our old pals. Actually,
I was totally surprised.
Go ahead.
Totally surprised. I was totally surprised, and I'm happy that they're here.
You were? Yeah. I couldn't be more. They were last here in September, and they really, I think, up until then had been here like every other month. So they were supposed to be back in November, and then they had to postpone it or something. So, as they say, better late than never. But, Steve, we got to get them on back on track, back like every other month. You know them from PBIRX. Let's welcome back to the show Nabil Khan and Mark Shapiro. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning, Gary.
It's great to see you.
Great to be back. It has been a while.
Be
oh, good.
Been really good.
Good. It's you look fantastic. How are things over at PBI? Obviously, things are going pretty well for PBIRX, huh?
It is. It's our busy time of season. A lot of new clients, expanding business, a lot of new hires. So it's been a busy, busy time for us.
Yeah, we were on the Inc. 5000 fastest growing privately held companies in the U.S. last year and looking to make a repeat on that list, even higher up. So we're doing, things are going well.
Steve, I'm in the company of greatness. An Inc. 500 company.
Absolutely. I'd spotted them.
This is true. I would not know them.
Have
it not, if it were not for you. All right. So then let me just get right into this then. What is this, this tridemic that I've been hearing about for, I don't know, maybe the last 3 weeks? And really, not only, well, so let's start, let me ask you first what it is and then what led to this.
Well, you know, it's a combination of three different respiratory-borne communicable diseases. That's the seasonal flu, COVID still around, and RSV, respiratory syncytial virus. So the timing of everything together is contributing to increased cases. We saw an earlier peak in flu activity this year compared to historically, as well as RSV typically impacting those under the age of two. Infants primarily are the most likely to get sick from it. But this year we've seen it in adults and others that are immunocompromised, more cases and more severe cases as well.
But COVID already has a component to it in which you've got shortness of breath. Isn't that part of the RSV? That's respiratory, the shortness of breath. So why is that now a separate entity as opposed to just including that in COVID?
Well, there's three different viruses contributing to the three different diseases, flu, COVID, and RSV. So depending on which virus is causing it, they're similar in symptoms and duration for the most part, but different causes.
Potentially a triple attack, all from different directions. It's still your lungs, but it's different viruses. So it's a bad combination all around. And we had, as Nabil had said, we had the COVID. Flu was to be expected, though it did start a little earlier this year. And the RSV did take us by surprise.
So where did that come from then? I mean, the flu is annual. It's like you said, yeah, it's mm-hmm. right. It's usually the end of fall, beginning of the colder months, and yeah. So that's an annual thing. I get that. But where did this RSV come from?
It's always been around. Generally, very young children we see it. Older children we see it less so. Adults less so. But this year, it's peaked. Perhaps just the way the viruses came together, and so we're seeing them all together, and it's stressing the healthcare that's out there. There's a lot of demand for health services, of course. There's people being hospitalized for this. And even drugs are running into shortage now that treat these conditions. So it's a bad combination, but it's what we have this year. It's what's come together.
What makes this strain of flu different than previous?
To my knowledge, it just started earlier. And just combined with the other two. There's nothing more severe about it. I don't know, Nabil, maybe you know different, but I would say it's just a combination of all together. As it said, a tridemic, three different attacks at once.
Okay. I'm just in what does this all mean to the public? In other words, how can people stay healthy? You mentioned something a moment ago, Mark, where even the medications are rather scarce, you know.
For children, we're seeing that, particularly because a lot of young people are being affected by this. So we're seeing a lot of cold medicines, fever reducers, being either Tylenol or it's generic or ibuprofen or Advil, as it's sometimes known. But some of the big chains, CVS and Walgreens, are restricting purchases, either on the web or when you buy it online or locally.
Why? Sounds like a third world country here. That doesn't sound like...
Well, that's the reality we have right now. Uh-huh. It's partly supply chain. It's partly demand. Those medications are out there, just so everybody knows. A lot of people like to head off to their CVS or Walgreens first. They're the biggest. They're the most known locations. But you do have your Walmarts. You do have your shopping stores. You do have your small pharmacies. Those medications are out there, and they're out there in different forms, too. A lot of house brands, home brands. ShopRite will have its version, let's say, of a Tylenol. So just ask that local pharmacist. You'll be able to find it, but just a little less accessible.
Will it produce the same results if I go with the generic brand or the store brand as opposed to the brand name of Tylenol or, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a common concern, but yeah, same active ingredients, same dosage, same kind of FDA approval and regulation.
How does like Tamiflu factor in any of this?
So speaking of Tamiflu and shortages, that's also been on shortage. Tamiflu and Xofluza, these are two antiviral medications for the flu taken shortly after symptoms begin to shorten the duration. These have also been on short supply and difficult to get for people to get their hands on. The good news is that these are vaccine-preventable diseases. So while someone can still get the flu or COVID after being vaccinated, typically much less likely to have severe cases or shorter duration compared to non-vaccination. So we have ways to protect ourselves. And in general, besides the vaccines, general health and wellness measures such as hand washing, avoiding touching our face, avoiding crowded, close proximity with others, wearing a mask if you're in kind of a crowded situation. Things to keep ourselves well and healthy in addition to things like getting adequate sleep. That's great for our immune system, for our overall mental health as well. staying well hydrated. These are not specific to any time of year or any disease state, but, you know, just a good reminder to all of us, you know, myself included, just to kind of stay well ahead of things.
I don't sleep as much as I should. I get up early. I got to do the morning show, you know. And then, news is always breaking. So I'm getting news at 10 o'clock at night and taking notes, and I'm like, you know, doing a little show prep.
Your listeners
I can't do my show prep
it.
Too early because by the time I come back on the air in the morning, it's old news. Right. So,
well, we do all the best we can, right?
Thank you.
Yeah. We try moderation. We try, like Nabil was saying, as much relaxation as we can, get enough sleep, hydration, everything in moderation. We do what we can.
Exercise.
Yeah. I just want to add one thing to what Nabil said. There's the new catchword this year is the three C's, how to try and prevent this, what's going on around us. And that's try and avoid confined places, try to avoid crowded places, and try and avoid close proximity. Really tough to do. It's the holiday season. We all want to be sociable out there. But keep it in mind in the settings you're in. And don't forget the mask. There's always, none of us was happy with that, but there's always that.
I couldn't tell you the last time I wore a mask.
Well,
it's Halloween, maybe, right?
No, I'm scary enough, actually. I don't need to wear a mask. Scary Gary over here. No, really. I even in government buildings, you can now. I think that was the last time I had to wear a mask. I was in a government building, and you don't even have to do that anymore. So I just got rid of them all.
Mm-hmm.
And they were looking kind of gnarly, anyways. but come on. I mean, that suppresses your immune system. No wonder why people are getting sick, because it's been. You know, you need to be exposed to some of these things so that your body can fight these off. I'm sure you've heard this many times, right?
That's correct. But let's not forget those amongst us that have weakened immune systems.
Then they should be wearing the masks.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all about risk, relative risk exposure and, you know, calculating your risks and understanding that, you know, a typical average healthy individual is not very likely to have severe cases or outcomes. But if you can prevent something, why treat it later when you can prevent it ahead of time? That's kind of just the approach that we look at it.
So what's up with all of these shortages that we're seeing recently? You mentioned them yourself. I mean, why? Is it really supply chain issues that we're having a hard time? Or are the pharmaceuticals companies, they just can't make them fast enough?
Well, when we're referring to the cold medicine, the children's medications, that's a combination, again, demand as well as supply.
Okay.
And what is the true root cause? Hard to find. But there is, and it's not a national shortage per se. It's out there. It's more a local, I don't know how to phrase this exactly, localized shortages. If you search hard enough, you can find it.
Okay.
But you need to do that. Sort of like what we had with toilet paper, about a couple of years ago. So.
What about overeating, overdrinking, overexertion? You touched upon this a moment ago as well. How does that play in? Because, you know, especially, you know, right now, I mean, here it is New Year's Eve. We just came off Christmas and Hanukkah and Festivus. And
got the Super Bowl coming up.
Yeah,
let us not forget.
Yeah.
So it's a great time of year. It's a fun time of year.
Sure.
We all want to enjoy it. But just we tend to overindulge as a broad statement. So what can we do? There's all these great foods out there nonstop all the time, maybe just in moderation. Some of us might be touching the bottle a little too much with the salutations to one another. Drink a little water, I meant, not just drink in general. Drink some water with that. And, I mean, we were super fortunate here. You know, we didn't get that big old snowstorm, but let's say we did, the one that really hurt Buffalo and those people.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, a lot of us are computer warriors now. We sit behind our desktops and whatnot, and we work. And then we go out there and tackle a big old storm like that, and our bodies aren't used to it. So just chill it a little. Just steady and slow when we do those overexertions.
What has the pharmaceutical industry learned in the last 2 years? I mean, we've endured a lot. COVID, this crazy, tridemic. And it just seems to be piggybacking on each. You know, we had COVID almost 3 years ago, right? What have we learned? In other words, let's say a few years from now, there's another pandemic. What can we apply a few years down the road? I don't know. Could be, who knows when the next pandemic will be. From what we've learned living through the whole COVID ordeal.
I think one of the biggest things is a general statement is that as new information comes in and there's new data that what at one point was believed to be true can change, and that's the beauty and nature of science. With more information and evidence, we have to be willing to be flexible in our approach and understanding best ways to treat, prevent, and minimize complications of COVID or a future pandemic. Hopefully it's not for another 90 years, but yeah, you know, I think that's a big part of it. You know, as we objectively look at data and research that we can adjust and be flexible with understanding updating guidelines.
I made a prediction on the air. I think we're going to see the next pandemic within 5 years. I didn't say in, I said within.
So can I ask you a question, Gary?
Sure, anything.
I would, my personal take, similar to Nabil, I think medically we responded as well as we could with the system we had.
Okay.
You asked, will we be ready for the next pandemic?
Right.
And that's,
well, what did we learn? What did we learn from
I would say we learned a lot, but will we remember the lessons? And that's my question to you. Do you think we'll remember those lessons when it happens again?
Well, I guess before I answer that, it would depend on how similar the pandemics are. There are certain people who just are not compliant, and there's others who, you know, take compliance to a new level.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's people who are kind of in between and, you know, I guess level-headed and just, okay, you know, I don't know if it would actually change the way anybody not only thinks, but how they carry on in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, to me, it's a question mark, too. But I just wanted to ask that. I think, again, medically, the system did as well as it could. I think it did admirable. It did wonderfully. It got those vaccines out there. It was approached on a worldwide scale. Was it all successful? No. Was it successful to a degree? Certainly was. Let's just hope you're wrong. We won't have the pandemic, but unfortunately, that's the nature of viruses, and there's a good chance something might happen.
It resulted. I bought stock in Pfizer. That's how I changed my. You know, a lot of people are getting rich right now. All right. Oh, by the way, folks, we are talking with Nabil Khan and Mark Shapiro from PBIRX. Folks, you are listening to Flashpoint Healthcare Solutions Radio Show with Steve Glick, CEO of Chamber Insurance Trust. I'm Gary Byron. All right, let's talk about weight loss, because here we are. Tomorrow going to be the first of not only the month, but the year. And I guess historically, this is a time when, all right, the holiday season is behind us. You start to see the commercials for Weight Watchers and Jenny Craig and Slim Fast and all gyms. And but the sad thing is that there's people who just think that they can not exercise, not watch their weight. You just pop a couple of pills, and whether they're appetite suppressors or I don't know. I get nervous when people start taking things that maybe they shouldn't, you know. You must have heard these before, right?
Yeah, absolutely, Gary.
What is, like, talk about the new drugs when it comes to weight loss.
So there have been some new drugs in the last couple of years, specifically to combat obesity and help with weight loss. Many of these drugs are also used in a different formulation for diabetes. And that's actually led to some shortages for diabetes drugs because of a couple of things. There have been some celebrity endorsements talking about specific drugs that are actually FDA approved to treat diabetes, but in different formulation have been approved for weight loss.
Are they safe?
They're just like with any other medication. They come with their own risks and possible side effects. But, you know, in general terms, we talked about wellness and health, you know, being well and preventing disease or preventing obesity. It's similar, you know, like you said, people want to kind of sometimes take a shortcut, but that's much easier to, you know, take a daily medication rather than watch what you eat, portion control and exercise.
Of course. And like I talked about in the past, everything in moderation. But when I start to hear the word shortage, like a shortage of diabetic medications, I mean, that's, wow, that's pretty dangerous, particularly those who have, you know, diabetes.
Well, one of these drugs is the same active ingredient, and it has both an indication for weight loss, and there's a specific drug for that, and it is not just an appetite suppressant, but also changes the way the body does respond. It's quite effective, but at the same time, it's a highly effective in two different formats, diabetes drugs. So we're seeing this off-label, we're seeing this over-prescribing when the weight loss drug actually went on shortage, so people are using the diabetic drug to replace that. We have a new diabetic drug that's out there that is actually being studied by the FDA for weight loss. But in the meantime, and it's very effective, people are taking that diabetic version of the drug and when they can, prescribing it for weight loss. So that's why we're seeing that effect. And right now our manufacturing is catching up. But they are highly effective drugs.
So what's new for 2023 as we start the new year? What's new in the pharmaceutical world that we should be aware of?
So I would say two things. One is called biosimilars, and the other is gene therapy. And biosimilars, these are drugs that are actually out on the market, and they are like generic versions of drugs that are more complex, drugs that are made from living organisms such as vaccines, insulin, Humira, if you've heard of it, drugs that are extremely effective, extremely expensive. And what's changing is we already have these drugs in the market for a few brand-name drugs. But Humira, which is a $5 million a day drug worldwide, which in 1 year will make more money than the NFL will, is now going to be biosimilar in 2023 in our country.
But what does it do? What does it help to
combat? It treats numerous conditions. I think it's been on the market, if I'm not mistaken, since 2004, 2005. Ulcerative colitis, psoriasis, rheumatoid arthritis.
Oh, so it's not new then?
It's not new. But they've been able to delay the quote-unquote generic version of the drug in this country till 2023. Worldwide, it's out there. Tremendous savings. This drug costs about $5,000 a month for treatment. So we're seeing 30 to 80% savings depending on country. We're talking Europe. We're talking Asia. We're talking different countries out there. This country, there's been a lot of roadblocks. Big pharma's gotten in the way. 2023, we'll see those first quote-unquote generic or biosimilar versions of these drugs come to market, be a real game changer. It's the number one drug in our country and worldwide. Huge cost, very good drug, not okay. To belittle it.
That's good.
But very high cost. So that's going to be a big, big game Sounds changer.
Good. How can people access the lowest cost medications without compromising quality of care?
So a couple of ways there, Gary. Generic drugs, you know, we spoke about Humira coming off patent in the U.S. Similarly, with traditional drugs, brand name drugs are granted market exclusivity through a patent when it gets approved by the FDA. This is to reward those manufacturers for innovation and bringing new drugs to market. The time and resources it takes to get a drug approved and to show it's safe and effective. So once that patent expires, then generic versions or biosimilars can come to market and compete. This generally drives the overall cost lower. They still have to go through the same FDA approval process to ensure that it's safe and effective. So that's one way when there's a generic alternative. Also, for the new year, many people will see updated formularies, the drugs that are covered on their insurance plan. They might have a different insurance plan for the new year through your employer. Mm. These are the kind of things that we do at PBRX to, as consultants, to educate and help our clients navigate the changes. So, for example, there might be three different brand drugs in the same category to treat a certain condition. One drug may be a preferred brand with a lower copay, and the other two might be non-preferred or non-covered drugs. So familiarizing yourself with the updated formulary, calling your insurance, there's usually a website or a phone number on the back of the card, or getting a competent consultant like PBRX to help you understand the differences. Those are all ways that members and people can, you know, not compromise the quality of care, but maintain affordable access to medications,
Nabil,
which is
important. I'm running out of time, and there's a question that I've been wanting to ask you. And in fact, I think I asked you this earlier in the year, but a lot of time goes by, and I know science, you know, there's always it's always fluid, right? The science changes. How likely is it that the COVID vaccines will become an annual dose, like for example, like the flu vaccines?
I think it's, at this point, it looks very likely, you know, with the nature of viral mutations, normal part of the process. And similarly with like the flu vaccine every year in the Southern Hemisphere, when we're experiencing summer, they have the winter. Scientists will gather the most active viral strains and try to formulate an effective flu vaccine for our upcoming winter. The way the COVID virus has been mutating so far, it seems like we'll have to most likely at this point continue with updated boosters. How long it is each year, a couple of years, it depends. But at this point, all signs are looking like it'll be something on a regular basis that we live with rather than look to eradicate.
I want to bring Steve Glick back into the conversation. Steve, very fascinating conversations. And I know that you have had a longstanding relationship with PBIRX and Nabil and Mark. I'm just curious, how does PBIRX help? How does it help its own clients contain pharmacy costs, you know, while still maintaining high quality benefits?
Gary, one of the strangest things, you know, we're into healthcare and we're dealing with it all the time. But the knowledge that the average person has on the value proposition of pharmacy and prescription drugs is very limited. We're all guessing in the game. And the costs are, you know, just piling up, you know, and the costs are just totally out of control for maintaining inside a health plan. The more education, what we're trying to do through this program is to educate the consumer with some positive information that can help them be a better consumer.
That sounds good. I want to thank our guest, Nabil Khan.
I applaud.
Hold on 1 second, Steve, because I'm actually out of time right now. No longer running out of time. I want to thank our guests, Nabil Khan and Mark Shapiro from PBIRX. You can check them out online at PBIRX.com. It doesn't get any easier than that. Again, PBIRX.com. For Steve Glick, Chief Administrative Officer for Chamber Insurance Trust, who, by the way, has his own website as well. It's CITRUST.com. And a toll-free number at 800-953-4467. I'm Gary Byron. Thanks so much for listening to the Flashpoint Healthcare Solutions radio show. Until next weekend, have a good one, everybody. So long.